Praise the Lord. Message number 282. The title of the message, God's Calling Requirements, Part 18. Let's open our Bible to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, and let's read from verse 1 to verse 23. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Inquire among the nations. Who has ever heard anything like this? A most horrible thing has been done by virgin Israel. Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes? Does it cool, cool waters from distant sources ever stop flowing? Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways in the ancient past. They made them walk in byways, on roads not built up. Their land will be an object of horror and of lasting scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and will shake their heads. Like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their disaster. They said, Come, let's make plans against Jeremiah, for the teaching of the law by the priests will not cease, nor will counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophets. So come, let's attack him with our tongues and pay no attention to anything he says. Listen to me, Lord. Hear what my accusers are saying. Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for me. Remember that I stood before you and spoke in their behalf to turn your wrath away from them. So give their children over to a famine. Hand them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives be made childless and widows. Let their men be put to death, their young men slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when they suddenly bring invaders against them. For they have dug a pit to capture me and have hidden snares for my feet. But you, Lord, No other plus to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness and who you are in our lives. And thank you for you always send your word to teach us your ways and to guide us with the truth, to know your will, to apply it in our lives. Thank you for, Lord, shaping us and reshaping us in the way that you want us to grow. Oh God, I pray that this message of yours will reveal the truth and will help your people to be changed, to be transformed, to repent, to receive salvation, to receive help and healing and wholeness that come from your throne of grace. Oh God, I pray you uphold me with your grace and anoint my lips and my mouth and put verses and scriptures to encourage your people. We thank you, Lord. We magnify you. We adore you. Lord, let the purpose of sending this message shall be accomplished and you will receive the fruit and what you expect of sending your word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Jeremiah 18 is a good passage that can demonstrate to us and to you who hear how to fulfill God's calling in your life. We have here the prophet Jeremiah. He responded and he cooperated with the way that God wanted him to respond to his call. You know, what you learn from this passage, from what Jeremiah did, you can also apply in your life, and you will be effective as Jeremiah in the way he responded to God's call. The first point that we want to expand and we can include from the passage: go where God wants you to go. You know, when the Lord called Jeremiah, he told him, go down to the potter's house and there I will give you my message. You know, the Lord, when he wanted to go to certain place and there he will tell you the message, the reason behind that is that God wanted to see certain things before he can tell you the message. Because when you see certain things and he will tell you the message, then you can grasp deeply the message of God and his intention of sending this message to you. In verse 3 we have read that, so I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel, but the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hand. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. You know, Jeremiah saw the clay in the hand of the potter, and also he saw him working it and trying to shape it, and after it is marred in his hand and again he want to shape it into another shape. The Lord used that imagery to speak and to convey his message to Jeremiah with a visual illustration. Certain time, we know that visual illustration is effective to impart the message and the teaching, so that the message, you will not only hear it, but it will be demonstrated to you with some shape or illustration that you will not forget it easily. It will be imprinted in your mind. When Jeremiah saw that, the Lord spoke to him. When you see that particular things, God will speak to you. God will bring you to certain places and he will tell you the message so you can grasp and understand what God is telling to you. God will use certain imagery an illustration, and while you are looking, he will speak the word of God, and you will hear the voice, and you will conclude the message. Jeremiah saw how the potter had the full power and authority to shape and reshape the clay in the way he wants and wish. That was the message of God to him, that he wants to send to his people, that God has the power over his people to do whatever he likes. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declared the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. So, this is the first point. Whenever God wants you to move and go to certain places, don't relent and don't ask why. You just move as you're led by the Holy Spirit, and then God will show you certain things in that particular place, and He will speak to you. Then you can understand what He say. When you understand what He say, you can convey the message with more conviction to the people who are around you. The second point, you must understand the doctrine of God clearly. In verse 7 to 10, He say, "If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repent of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned." What the Lord say here, that if I already say a curse and pronounce a curse on certain people because of their sin, they are stubborn there and their rebelliousness, and those people repented, changed their ways, then I will not do what I have said. I will relent from sending disasters. And also, in verse 9 and 10, if at any other time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. In the same way also, if you promise good to a certain nation or people, and they start to do bad and turn away from him and did not obey him, then what God had promised to them would not come to pass. Now, there are many people who claim the promise of God, who claim to receive the blessing of God. You know, that is correct. When by faith you proclaim and you claim that you receive what God promised, that is your faith and that's your confidence in the Lord. But that will be only possible when you obey the word of God and abide with His word and His will. In the same way, you know, you must understand, when people are doing sin, you need to tell them what God has promised to you, it will not come. That is the sound teaching, that is the doctrine. And when they will repent, you will tell them, you will find favor and you will find the Lord with you to fulfill that particular promise to you. The third point, you need to inform the people about God's plan for them. In verse 11, book of Jeremiah 18, verse 11, "Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem," this is what the Lord says, "Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions." You know, many who preach the gospel, they tell the people that God had good plans for them. And they quote Jeremiah 29:11. We know all of us Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." That is correct. And we need to explain correctly and adequately to the people the promise of God to them. Jeremiah 29:11, when the Lord says, "I have a good plan for you," is it true only after the people had repented? But if they are in sin and non-repented, then you need to tell them that God is devising a plan against you. You need to tell them Jeremiah 18:11. When the people of God are in sin, then Jeremiah 18:11 is the accurate message to the people in order to warn them and lead them to turn from their evil ways, reform their ways, and come back to God and do His will. Jeremiah 18 describes a clearly rebellious people and how they behave and how they will go against the ways of God. You know, and if you will read further, verse 12 and 13 and 14 and 15, but they will reply, it is no use. We will continue with our own plans. We will all follow the stubbornness of our evil hearts. That's here the point. Which time you can tell the people God is devising a plan against, when you find them stubborn, evildoers, they all go with their own plans. They will not stop. In verse 13, therefore, this is what the Lord says. Inquire among the nation, who has ever heard anything like this? A most horrible thing has been done by virgin Israel. Does the snow of Lebanon ever vanish from its rocky slopes? Does its cool waters from distant sources ever stop flowing? Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols, which made them stumble in their ways in the ancient past. They made them walk in byways on roads does not build up. When the people are stubborn and insist to go in their own plans and ways, they are forgetting the Lord. They had forget the Lord. You know, the slope of Lebanon with the ice and with the stream of waters, with the waters, you know, it will never dry. And it will never be without ice, the mountains of Lebanon. But the people of God, they are called the people of God. They are called a Christian, but they have forgotten the Lord. That how it can be? That's God is saying how it can be if the mountain will not be, the mountain of Lebanon will not be without ice. How then my people have forgotten? When the people start to worship idols, they are about more for worldly practices and lust, following tradition and norms. That will make them go and deviate and stumble and fall into byways and roads not built up. Therefore, those who are disobedient and reluctant to obey the message of God, then the book of Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 11, that will be the promise of God to them, to encourage them, to exhort them to repent. This is what the Lord says, look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. So you have with you Jeremiah 18:11 for the rebellious, and when they repent, you and those who are repented and those who are obedient is Jeremiah 29:11. You need further point number four. You need to respond to the people the judgment of God. Verse 16 we have read, their land will be an object of horror and of lasting scorn. All who pass by will be appalled and will shake their heads. You need to respond to the people. That's how God's calling. Don't tell me they get upset. They need to get upset. They need to be sad. Yeah. Even the word of God make them angry. That is needed. You respond to them their sins and rebelliousness. And tell them this sin and rebelliousness will cause God to make them desolate by removing His blessing from them and from the land that He placed them. Verse 17, like a wind from the east, I will scatter them before their enemies. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their disaster. Tell them, God will scatter you. God will trouble you. And also when you are in point of trouble, in disaster, the enemy is attacking, God will not show you his face, but he will show you his back. As you turn your back from the Lord, he will also turn you his back from you. Point number five. You must understand and you have to be aware that you will be attacked and persecuted by the people. Jeremiah 18:18, they said, the people they are saying in regard to Jeremiah, come, let's make plans against Jeremiah, for the teaching of the law by the priest will not cease, nor will counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophets. So come, let's attack him with our tongues and pay no attention to anything he says. Why they attacking him with their tongue? Because he proclaimed to them the word of the Lord by his tongue and his mouth. He gave them the message. They don't like the message. They start to fight him with their tongues, and they say, come, let's make plans against Jeremiah. Why they make plans? Because he told them that God is devising plans against you. So they want to fight God by fighting Jeremiah the prophet. And that's a double sin. Why double sin? As Jeremiah telling them the message of God, when they don't accept it and fight, they are fighting against God, and they are fighting against Jeremiah, the prophet of God, whom God sent to warn them, and that is double sin. Be aware about the persecution, accept it, and trust God. The people, they will justify it also. You know what they say after they say, let us make plans against Jeremiah. They say, for the teaching of the law by the priest will not cease. And you have all other pastors, they are preaching, they are telling, not only he. When you face them with the truth, they will belittle your message. They will go to other church, they will invite other preacher, they go to other Bible study to justify their sin. They are looking for some people who will condone or cover up or overlook their sin. But the Bible cannot be changed. We cannot change the word of God. Sooner or later, God will face you. The Holy Spirit will face you with that very word that you are not willing to accept. Don't be intimidated or frustrated or daunted when the people belittle you, and they will tell you, not only the one who teach, other people better than you, other pastors and prophets and men of God better than you, they are speaking nice words to us, but you are not telling good things to us. Don't be intimidated. Don't change the word of God. If they are in sin, Jeremiah 20. If they are in sin, then Jeremiah 18, verse 11. If they are repentant and contrite, then they can see the good plans for them, the good plans of God for them, as he declared in Jeremiah 29:11. What you need to do when they attack? Pray and cry to God. That is point number six. Pray and cry to God for mercy to protect you and to deal with their sins. Listen to me, Lord. Verse 19, Jeremiah was praying. Hear what my accusers are saying. Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for me. Remember that I stood before you and spoke on their behalf to turn your wrath away from them. Pour out your souls before God. Open all your pain, your sadness. Tell him, Lord, see what they are doing. See how they are accusing me. I have done good. You had to pray. You had fasted for them. But now they are repaying you evil for good. Pour out your spirit to God. Cry to God. Prayer. And you are crying and kneeling down and fasting. The Lord will consider. And they are precious things in the eyes of God, your tears and your weeping because you are persecuted, and that is part of the suffering and accepting the call of God in your life, and the Lord will rescue you, will be beside you. No one can save you from persecution. No one can save us as a church. No one can save the church of God from persecution except the Lord Himself. Point number seven. You need to express to the people the love of God in full. Those who are persecuting you, you need to express to them the love of God in full. You know, in verse 21 to verse 23, the prayer of Jeremiah, he continued to pray. So what he prayed? So give their children over to famine. Hand them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives be made childless and widows. Let their men be put to death. Their young men slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring invaders against them. For they have dug a pit to capture me and have hidden snares for my feet. But you, Lord, know that all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you and deal with them in the time of your anger. You know, the prayer that Jeremiah prayed here, and many people, they say, you know, you should not pray this way. You know, Jeremiah, he was requesting God to judge the people, to judge the people in his anger. You know, and some people, they say that if Jesus, he would not pray like that. And that's correct. Many scripture in the Testament. Even Jesus said, you bless and not curse. That's true. But when you look deeply to this prayer of Jeremiah, actually that is represent the true love of God. And even Jeremiah, when he prayed this prayer, he not only he prayed, he put it on paper. The people also can read, and even today, that prayer, it represents also the deep love of God in the heart of Jeremiah toward the people. How I can say that's the love of God? Yes, that's the love of God. Jeremiah was honest, and that was the way that he truly loved the people, when he did not cheat them and hide his heart from exposing it to them. You know, when Jeremiah prays a prayer, his prayer is the outcome. It's not the outcome. It's what will be the outcome of their sin and rebelliousness if they would not repent. Widowhood, and also loss of children, loss of houses, enemies will come and invade. That's all the consequences of the sins of the of what they were doing, of idol worship and rebelliousness. Jeremiah responded to them through his prayer. And you must understand that God loves the people who persecute you. And you need to understand that God, in keeping you and sustaining you among them in spite of all their harm and hurt, are God's love to them in continuing sending them His messages through your life. You know, Jeremiah was not a person who cheated the people. He was so honest. He was telling them the hard message, the painful word of God to them because they were in sin. And he was willing to be persecuted. He was willing to receive hurt and harm from them. But he was honest. He was so loving person. Nowadays, people, they want somebody to cheat them. You know, nowadays, there's no Bible teacher. There are Bible cheaters. They don't tell the truth. They don't confront the people. I never hear somebody speak about Jeremiah 18:11. All of them is 29:11. And they know the people in front of them, they are rebellious, idol worshippers, Everyone coming with his own plans and wishes, and he wants the church and the pastor to bless that. You know, Jeremiah persevered. He did not quit. And that is how he loved the people. And that's how God expresses his love to his people. When he keep you, when he not change your ministry, he not change where you are living or the people you are ministering, it means that still God does not want to give up on the people that he is reaching through your life. That his messaging, that his messages are reaching to them through your life. And for you, to express in honesty all the wrongdoing, putting that in writing and requesting God to judge them is revealing to them God's displeasure. And that can be discovered as a marvelous work that you can do to show your full love to them. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, charity or love delight in the truth. And so that what you are doing when you tell the people everything face to face, that is the truth. And that is how to fulfill God's calling requirement. Many people, they compromise with the people. They don't tell the painful message. And how the people, they will repent. If you will not give the medicine, there will be no healing. And the word of God, you say that he sent his word and he delivered them from the grave. He healed their sickness and he delivered them from the grave. The word of God is the treatment of sin. Sin is death. And the only word that can save you from sin is the word of God. And Jesus is the word of God. You know, he said it clearly. If you love your father and mother more than me, he's unworthy of me. If a man loves his daughter and son more than me, is unworthy of me. And that's why God wants us to be very clear in fulfilling our calling to God. When you are so clear and so sharp and bold with the people and blunt with them, your light is shining. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. You know, you are the light. If you will compromise, then there's no more light. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Your willingness to stay where God had placed you and among the people that he requested you to minister is part of fulfilling your God's calling in your life. Jeremiah never escaped or move away from the people that God asked him to face, preach the message, and proclaim to them God's judgment. He was honest and did not alter what God meant to tell the people. This will be the way to show your full commitment to God's call in your life. Come to the Lord. Let's pray now. Tell him, Lord, thank you for your word that make me understand your will. Lord, I surrender my will and my plans for you. I am willing, Lord, to face the people with their sin and compromises and idol worship. Lord, thank you for making to me clear that I need to love the people in the way of showing to them the message, the full message in truth. Lord, I commit myself that I will not cheat or delude the message or cut certain things that people may not be happy to hear. But Lord, I will show my full love, Lord, to them. God, I pray for each and everyone who had committed himself to serve you wholeheartedly and to do and to fulfill, oh God, the calling of yours in their life, you uphold that brother and sister with your grace and your mercy, and support him and protect him. Hear the prayer of your people, O God, who are serving you, who are persecuted. Hear their prayer and their cry, and deliver them from the enemies, from those who persecute them. O God, as a church, uphold us, Lord, with your grace. We are willing to go forward and to proclaim your word and your message to the people that you call us to minister, that you have placed us with, and help us, O God. Sustain us, give us stamina to continue, Lord, to save you and declare your will. O God, bless us, enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hands be with us and keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, in Christ's name. Amen and amen.